MTV Video Music Awards, and the Chili Peppers were honored a couple times. Best Rock Video, they won that award, and also they were christened Rock Icons. They won the Rock Icon Award. And here's a little tidbit from Flea's acceptance speech.
I love cockroaches and dirt and trees and every human being and the fish in it and deer and deer antlers and birds and sky and love and everything that isn't love is cowardice. I love you. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you.
Ah, where have I heard that before?
I love carpet. I love desk.
Brick, are you just looking at things in the office and saying that you love them?
I love lamp.
Do you really love the lamp, or are you just saying it because you saw it?
I love lamp. I love lamp.
Congratulations to Flea and the Chili Peppers.
I love cockroaches and dirt and trees.
Do you really love the cockroaches, Flea?
They do love dirt. They have a song called I love dirt.
I like dirt. I love dirt.
Yeah. So that's consistent.
Cool night for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. If you're a rock fan, that was a highlight. Now, a lot of people talking about this moment last night at the MTV VMA Awards. There was some hip-hop artists performing, and on stage with them was a giant twerking hologram. Look at this, Jim.
That's a hologram?
I don't think it's an actual hologram, and we've complained about this before. If you have to look through your phone or you got to look on a screen to see something, it's not a hologram.
Then it's augmented reality,
yes.
Actually, technically.
So okay, I think it's look at it.
I was gonna say, that's very talented, but now I'm noticing that it is certainly CGI. Are we gonna let computers take all our best twerking jobs as well?
Look at the size of that thing.
Why though? I mean, there's so many great dancers, so many beautiful women. Why are you using computers in a situation like that?
Because you can, Jim. There's some real dancers out
is
there,
it?
Too.
How do you tell?
Those aren't CGI.
Oh, okay.
I know it looks, the costumes are weird. Those dancers are real, but it's just the giant twerking hologram or augmented reality.
Huh. This is that one is now I know it's fake. That looks like Who Framed Roger Rabbit? What's the girl in the red dress?
Jessica Rabbit.
That's exactly what that looks like. That is ridiculous.
Do they have the twerking physics down? Not quite, eh?
It's a little just exaggerated.
A little bit off. Yeah. Anyways, the giant twerking hologram.
Wow, that's the future, huh?
A standout at the MTV Video Music Awards last night.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Congratulations to Jim's soccer team, Great Wall FC. They pulled it off yesterday, winning their first playoff game, even though they were a low seed heading into the playoffs. Things got tense out there, though, Jim. You ended up getting a yellow card in the game. What happened?
Oh, it happened. Honestly, it doesn't happen to me that often. I haven't got a yellow card since high school, I would say, probably. I'm pretty sportsmanlike kind of player.
Even keel, you keep to yourself. You don't really chirp. You're not that kind of guy.
And when you're goalie, you're kind of protected, so you don't really have to hit anybody or do anything kind of borderline sketchy that you would get a yellow card for. But anyway, I about 10 minutes into the game, one of our players was playing defense, a ball's in the air, he's a big boy, and he kind of went up to head the ball, and the other guy playing forward on the other team kind of ran into him. They collided. Happens every game. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
Our player got his head on it, so I mean, he didn't just play the body or anything. So, but that guy falls down on the other team. He's furious. He stands up. He's like, "You try that again, buddy, I'll effing kill you." And, you know, I'll usually bite my tongue, let them get it out of their system. So, but he keeps going back. He keeps repeating himself. He's like, "You better watch it, blah, blah, blah." And the guy who's playing defense on our team is like the nicest guy on our team. He's always like, "Hey, Jim." Like, he's just such a sweet man. So he's kind of like not getting into it either. But this guy is just keeps like chirping at him.
He wants some sort of confrontation.
Even as the ref makes him the call, they're getting a free kick out of it. And so, like, I kind of turn around, and it's like the guy probably said like five different things.
Dropping F bombs.
Yeah.
Swearing.
And then he goes, "Do you even understand what I'm saying?"
Oh, no,
and then so I start, because I'm mad, you know, they're all Chinese guys, they all have accents, so I was like, what's this guy trying to say? So I lose it, and I'm like, you shut the F up, you got a problem, you never played sports before, this happens all the time, you caught the call, you effing idiot, what else do you want? So he's yelling at me, and then another old guy on their team's yelling at me, I'm like, you go F yourself too, and then the guy who fell was like, F you too, goal. It was a lot of swearing going on.
Yeah.
And then anyway, this other guy on their team runs up to him, and they're about to take this free kick, and he's like, yo, I think that's Jim from the radio. You're better going to be on the radio or something like that. I'm like, oh, I better watch what I say here because I might get in trouble here too. And then so we have it out. And then like the guy takes a free kick like a few minutes later, scores on me, the guy that got knocked over.
Oh,
so,
boy.
So I'm mad. It's like 1-1 there. And they all go.
Did he chirp you when he scored?
Nah. We actually talked later and we kind of made up a little bit. He was like, what? I can't react when I'm frustrated. I was like, you overreacted. Anyway, so they score. They go back to the center line, play's about to resume. And all I hear is like a guy on their defense going, goalie sucks. Goalie can't save crap. Keep shooting from anywhere, boys, this goalie's terrible. So I'm like, it's 1-1. I'm like, we cannot lose this game right now. I just went off, blah, 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 blah. I'm getting chirped now. So anyway, we do eventually.
But that little fire under you, you're yeah. like, okay, I'm not letting another ball pass me.
Yeah, I did let another ball pass me. And that's when it was 3-2 for us. And a lot of times when you're running out of time in soccer, the offensive player just scores, will run and grab the ball out of the net to run and quickly put it back on center so you can start the game again while the clock is still running. So I grab the ball to try to slow the game down. Another guy comes up, tries to knock it out of my arms, and I like grab it away from him, push him out of the way. He's like, come on, ref! So anyway, we got into it, and the ref's like, you know what? I was like, what's the rule against that? I didn't know what the rule is, so I'm just trying to kill time. He's like, it's just unsportsmanlike. Push, you were screaming in the first half. And I was like, yeah, I was. All right. So he gave me a yellow card. Anyway, we still won 4-2, so it was
yeah.
good.
Yeah. That's the best revenge.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't a bad team. We played worse, like, chippier teams that were more angry, but I did have it out with that one guy. So I'll apologize for losing my cool, and I'll apologize to the parents watching on the sideline.
Justified, though, because he made that comment.
Well, I let him. You can make five comments. Once you get on the sixth one, it's like, move on.
But also, you know, when you make a comment, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Everyone knows what he's insinuating there. And, you know, these guys are great guys from all accounts. You've been talking about how much fun you've been having with the team. We've been hearing these guys. They all seem like super nice dudes. Yeah.
But, you know, you say things in the heat of the moment. You know, I'm not going to rag on this guy too much. It happens. But they didn't care. None of our teammates brought it up or cared, so I'm sure it wasn't a big deal, but yeah, it gets intense. Even when you're old and out of shape, like, guys still want to win really bad.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even more so.
It's all they got. Yeah. It's all you got.
Myself included, 100%.
So is that team out now?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. Onwards and upwards.
Next Wednesday. Sunday?
No,
this
Sunday's
Wednesday,
weekend,
yes.
Yeah.
This Wednesday, the next game for Great Wall FC. Keep it going.
Maybe a red card this game for old Jimmy.
Why not?
Go with a bang.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
34-year-old dude. His name is Paul. He got arrested on his honeymoon because he left his new bride sleeping in their hotel room and went out to meet a prostitute that he connected with online.
Whew.
Now, unlucky. It was a sting operation set up by the local police to crack down on sex trafficking. Paul was cuffed and taken to the station. Can you imagine how awkward that phone call would be?
Oh, yeah, because his first phone call would have to be back to the wife, right? Or would you call your buddy and say, how can we get out of this? She's got to be the first one you call and tell, yeah. Right?
Might be a scenario where you just never go back.
What's the gain? Oh, dude, after you spend, you know, who knows how much for the wedding,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's say 30, 50 grand, something around there.
You're planning a wedding now, Jim.
Yeah, all blown down the drain. And I was planning on hiring a lady of the night at our honeymoon. I guess I can't anymore.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
You never know when it's a... Is that entrapment? It's pretty close to entrapment.
No, it's only entrapment if they would come up to you and say, hey, do you want this? You have to go
but
out and search for it.
But if you find the website.
Yeah. Like a drug dealer undercover can't say, hey, do you want some heroin? You have to approach the guy and say, I want some heroin.
May I please have some heroin?
And then they're like, busted.
Busted. Better call your wife. I hope you're not on your honeymoon.
Oh, man. Just don't get married if that's what you're, you know, it's easy. Don't get married if that's how you roll.
Yeah, there's a number of people out there who probably wish they took that advice at some point, Jim.
Don't get married.
Don't get married.
This guy, indeed.
Easy
and her, too.
To say, hey, you get to a point in the relationship where you go one way or the other, and it's tough. It's tough to break up with somebody. But probably not for Paul's bride.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be that difficult.
Easy choice.
That's an annulment, I think, at that point. If you can't even make it through the honeymoon without your husband ordering a prostitute, you probably don't have to divorce. You can just get the whole thing waved off. It's a mulligan for her.
Yeah. But if you're not in the public eye, what's the point of an annulment versus a divorce? So you don't have to say I was divorced before?
Right.
I guess.
In the eyes of the church, whatever
it is.
I
guess if you're religious, yeah, too.
You don't have to say that you have an ex-husband.
Yeah, but what a story, though. Probably mention it.
The sheriff who arrested Paul said, the only question here was, as a wedding guest, is it too late to get the gifts they gave returned back to them?
I would like my money back, at least.
Yeah, I want that air fryer back, Paul.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Saturday, London, Ontario. Stanley Cup was in the Forest City. Nazem Kadri won the cup with the Avs, and he brought the trophy home. Started off at the mosque on Oxford Street in London. Nice parade down Oxford to Victoria Park, where there was a ceremony. He got absolutely swarmed there. And I was waiting at Empire Auto Group, which is on Dundas Street in London, because we were told the cup was going to make an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And hockey fans gathered out at Empire Auto Group. By the way, some great luxury vehicles there. If you're looking for a used vehicle, Empire Auto Group, they got a lot of great stuff on the lot there. Anyways, I was waiting, and the cup was supposed to be there around 3:30, we were told.
Okay.
And then it was 3:45, and then it was 4:15, and we knew that Kadri was going to get on a plane at 5:15, so it was getting a little dicey because it was now 4:30, and the cup wasn't there yet. But at around 4:45, quarter to 5, the cup showed up with Nazem Kadri, and the place went wild. Everyone taking pictures, trying to get autographs. It was just 15 minutes of mayhem.
Yeah.
But that's all that Naz had at the dealership was 15 minutes because they had to get to the airport and get on an airplane. I want to give a shout-out to my pal Colin Martin, former London Knight, good friend of Kadri's. He grabbed me. He's like, Taz, you want an interview? I said, sure. He said, come in the van. So they were traveling in one of those luxury vans.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, stand right here, stand in the van. And when Naz gets in, just start talking to him. So there was a little confusion. Naz's security's like, who the hell is this guy? And Colin's like, he's from the radio. We'll drop him off at the edge of the car lot.
So you just took a short ride through the parking lot.
So I got a ride through the parking lot with Nazem Kadri in the Stanley Cup. And this is how it went.
Stand at the side here.
You know, Naz?
Yeah.
Naz, how's the day going, buddy?
It's been crazy, for sure. Chaotic, but it's been an absolute pleasure, man. A dream of mine.
Yeah. How long do you think before it actually sinks in? You've touched so many people today. London's been going crazy for you. Could you feel it during the playoffs?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. I mean, it was a buzz for a long time, and you know, it's enjoyable, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Naz, famously, after you won the cup, you put out an invitation for a group of people to kiss your posterior. Did anyone take you up on the offer?
No, not of yet. So, still waiting on that.
Did any of the people in that group, did they call you and say, you know what, I was wrong?
Yeah, I mean, just having fun with it, you know, that's something, you know, I've earned. So, you know, it's something I feel like I can say.
You know, for everyone that thought I was a liability in the playoffs, you can kiss my ass.
London, very proud of you. Great celebration. First Muslim-born player to hoist the cup. You did our Muslim community, our London community, very proud. And cheers to you. Enjoy the rest of the day. Where are you off to?
We're heading to Toronto, so it should be a pretty good night.
Oh, yeah. That could be where the posterior kiss comes in.
Yeah, it could be. It's going to be more private. So, all right. You know, we're going to have a good night for sure.
Nazem Kadri, congratulations. Stanley Cup champion.
All right, thanks, man.
Enjoy
Thank
Toronto and Calgary.
Appreciate
Congratulations.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate that. Thank you, man.
Right. See you guys. Thank you.
Here's my stop.
They're like, get out.
They didn't even slow down.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Kudos to Rory McIlroy. Rory, he won the FedEx Cup by one stroke yesterday.
That guy's crushing it.
Yeah, he's doing well. $18 million is what he won himself.
Not a bad weekend.
Not a bad weekend. Not live golf money, but...
loser.
He'll have to take it. It looks like Cameron Smith, our favorite mullet in professional golf, has decided to leave the PGA. He's going over to the Live Golf Tour with a couple other big names. So, yeah, I don't know what the PGA is going to do to combat this, but I would say if they want to boost ratings, they should get Jalen Rose, retired NBA star, out on the course as often as possible because he is entertaining to watch.
Yikes. I mean, maybe painful after a while, though. For maybe 2 minutes, it's fun, but oh, boy.
So, a former Toronto Raptor, he had a great NBA career, clearly didn't spend much time on the golf course while he was playing basketball because he was at a celebrity shootout in Detroit, Jim, and Jalen had trouble hitting the golf ball.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a football jersey on. He looks like he could potentially play golf, but he's wearing a watch. You know, it's like he's just out of his element completely. So he's got the golf ball. It looks like it's a par three, and he's got a wedge. There is crowds on the side of him, all the way at the back. He's surrounded by people at this celebrity thing. So he tries to hit the ball, and his swing is so awkward, he cannot make contact with this ball. He swings like 5 to 10 times, making a bigger divot each time, and the crowd reaction is classic. One. Two. Big whiff. Three. Big divot. Four, bigger divot. Now they're saying, where's Jack? Jack Nicklaus is also there, and he's been watching this sorry display. So here comes Jack.
Comes out and gives him some tips.
Yeah. He says, see this thing here, points to the golf club? That's what you hit the ball with.
How many times did Rose swing before he finally made contact?
I think I've heard reports 17, because then he hits the ball and it goes like 4 feet. So he runs out like I do on the first hole of the day, grab the ball, bring it back. Nobody saw that. He did that a couple times too after. And
I would be nervous if I was one of those fans.
Well, yeah, it's a good thing he didn't make contact with it because it could have went sideways. Yeah.
I'd like to try that one day.
What's that?
To golf with people on either side of me.
Oh, you sure?
To have the pressure. Oh, just to see.
Yeah.
Just to see if I do accidentally send someone to the hospital.
But if I got hit in the head with Jalen Rose's ball, I'd be like, oh, yeah! If Taz hit me in the head, I'd be like, this guy's just a bad golfer. Jalen Rose, I could sue to oblivion, maybe.
But it would be fun to golf and see what it's like.
With the pressure?
With the pressure.
Yeah.
Would it elevate your game or would it make you worse?
Oh, man. Gotta be worse.
Yeah,
right?
You'd think so. His swing, Jalen Rose's swing, kind of looks like my swing, except I make contact.
It's like you've perfected Jalen Rose's swing.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
You know who's making dreams come true?
Who's that?
Keanu Reeves.
Why?
Is he the best guy or what?
Apparently, yeah. We talked a few months ago about who we'd be most disappointed if they turned out to be a secret jerk. And I think Keanu was the one we finally settled on. He's beloved.
Yeah. You hear stories all the time about him interacting with normal people, us common folk. And he did it again. There's a British couple named James and Nikki. They got married over the weekend. They were having their reception at a hotel. And the night before the wedding, James ran into Keanu Reeves at the bar in the hotel. Had a chat with him, said, "Oh, Keanu, by the way, you're invited to our reception. We'd love if you came to our wedding reception." Keanu responded with a maybe.
Okay.
You know,
leaves
what that,
it open.
But you know what that usually means.
Yeah, you're too nice to say no.
Right. Later on, he showed up.
They forgot he was an alcoholic. He was for sure going to come for free booze.
He fought the best man, knocked him unconscious. No, he didn't. He chatted with people, took some pictures. Even though he was tired from a long flight, Keanu still showed up at the wedding reception.
Wow. I'm kind of shocked. I wonder how long he spent there. Because it could be like a quick pop-in, but...
As long as you get the pictures and the story,
for
what
sure,
else do
yeah,
you need,
you
right?
Oh, yeah. It'd be weird if he was like hanging out too much, and it's like 2 hours later, and you're like, okay, Keanu, you can go now. We're wrapping things up.
Midnight buffet comes out. Keanu's still milling about, getting some nachos.
Is Keanu double dipping?
I think either he knows what he's doing or he genuinely is one of the nicest guys in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Either he knows how to play the role and he just loves adding to the lore of him being a great guy, or he's actually a great guy.
I think he is.
Yeah, I hope it's number two.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Ozzy Osbourne and his wife Sharon are moving back to the UK. They're leaving America. And we now know why. They said in an interview, Sharon said, "America has changed so drastically. It isn't the United States of America at all. Nothing's united about it. It's a very weird place to live right now." I don't think anyone can argue with that.
Does seem like it's going downhill pretty quick, but I think England is too. So, I mean, upgrade or no?
Ozzy says everything's effing ridiculous in the United States right now. "I'm fed up with people getting killed every day. God knows how many people have been shot in school shootings. It's effing crazy." Ozzy also says, "I don't want to die in America. I don't want to be buried in effing Forest Lawn Cemetery. I'm English. I want to be back." So he's going home to die, I guess?
Yeah, I get that. You want to get to, like, it's inevitable,
yeah.
You know, so, it'd be easier than shipping your body if you die over here.
Ozzy, like, the last 5 or 6 albums he's written, I think, have all been, like, I think he's surprised he's still alive more than anybody.
Yeah.
Because every album he comes out with, the theme is like, okay, I'm going to die. You know, he had I Don't Want to Die an Ordinary Man,
mm-hmm.
Under the Graveyard.
I Don't Want to Stop.
The new song, Patient Number 9, I'm Not Getting Out Alive, you know? He's come to terms with it.
Yeah. I guess a lot of metal music, you know, is death, but not your personal death a lot of times.
Guys, like, it could be today, could be next week, but I don't have much time left. That's so the third single on the album, by the way.
If they're going to make news and say, we're moving back to England, then I want you to sell all your American properties then. Because if you can fly back and forth between the two, you haven't made any hard decisions at all. So if they're like, we're out of America 100%,
but we're coming back to visit?
No, they sell all their... If they stay in England, I'll be like, okay, that's principled.
They can't have a cottage in the U.S.?
They can have one condo. That's it.
Them's the rules.
Mm-hmm. You're the one who said you don't like America.
Are you brave enough to let me see your peacock?
Wow, what a momentous day. After over 2 years broadcasting from home because of stupid COVID, look who's back in the studio with us. It's Devin Peacock.
Hey, guys.
Looking tanned, looking fit. Feeling good?
Feeling really good. You guys looking... I mean, I've seen you bunch of times. But outside of the office.
Right.
Office.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed to hang out at work together, yeah. But extracurricular. We were hot tubbing at Dev's. good to have you back, bud. Blue Jays. Not a great weekend for the boys.
Terrible weekend. I mean, they were playing a team that's well under 500. They were honoring the 30th anniversary of the 92 World Series team. This was a weekend where they came in hot. They had swept the Yankees. They had swept the Red Sox. You should sweep the Angels. Instead, they got swept. It was just a terrible weekend all around. The only bright spot being honoring the 92 team.
Robbie Alomar not invited. He's basically been scrubbed from history at this point.
Yeah, it's weird because his jersey is still retired by the Blue Jays. And so, like, if you look at the retired jerseys in Blue Jays history, it's Roy Halladay, it's Roberto Alomar. Roberto Alomar had one of the most iconic hits in the 92 playoffs. He hit a home run off of Dennis Eckersley to send them basically to the World Series. And he is persona non grata, not just for the Toronto Blue Jays, for all of Major League Baseball. He is someone who just does not exist.
Do we even know what he did that was so awful that he'd be banished like this?
There has not been enough transparency on all of this. He was not charged. There have been a lot of rumors over the years. Major League Baseball did their own investigation, and after that, they decided they had seen enough. He is out. The Blue Jays immediately fired him, removed him from all organization activities, but there has been very little transparency in terms of what exactly was alleged against Roberto Alomar. There's lots of allegations, there's lots
and
of rumors
and hearsay,
but there's nothing concrete out there. And if you're going to take this significant of a step, I feel the fans, the public deserve to know exactly what is the cause for all of this.
Yeah, because when they do something like this and they don't tell you, I don't know. What I'm imagining in my mind, is it worse than what he actually did? You know, like sometimes your imagination can be worse than the truth. I don't know if that's the case here.
It could also just be a quiet agreement between the two. It's like, let's part ways. We'll keep it under, like, we don't want any more smoke on this issue, so let's just part ways. And probably Roberto Alomar doesn't want to be more embarrassed, so they're probably just burying it.
Yeah, it could be a thing where Roberto Alomar says, you know what, I'm fine with just fading to the background and living the rest of my life without public scrutiny. But it was also kind of a black mark on the whole weekend, because Roberto Alomar was a major part of the 92 team, the 93 team. There was the whole trade with Joe Carter and Alomar coming to Toronto from San Diego for Tony Fernandez and Fred McGriff. Like, it was a major turning point in franchise history.
I had a blue glove as a kid, and it has said Roberto Alomar on it, like the fake signature inside.
I had his poster on my wall.
I drank nothing but McCain Punch for 8 years.
You owe me my teeth, Alomar!
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
When you bite into something yellow, a lot of the times you expect it to taste like lemon, right? Especially if it's a sweet treat.
Mm-hmm.
Not at the CNE this year. They're serving yellow ice cream, mustard flavored.
What?
Yeah.
Mustard?
Mustard ice cream. And guess who tried it? Ryan, our Hamilton producer. He had a couple days off last week, went to the CNE with his partner. Mustard ice cream. Why?
Why not? When in Rome, right?
Are you a big mustard guy?
I am. It's one of my go-to condiments.
I think it's one of everybody's
one
go-to
of three.
Condiments.
Yeah.
Were they selling? Was there other condiment-flavored ice cream at the CNE this year?
Yeah, so there's mustard, and then there's a ketchup one as well.
And you did not try the ketchup?
No, I'm not a huge ketchup guy, honestly.
Yeah, my 5-year-old son would have definitely gone for the ketchup. That's like the magic sauce.
Yeah.
If you want him to eat anything, you just slather it in ketchup and he's good to go. So let's get your review of the mustard ice cream.
All right, so the ice cream itself, pretty, like, not bad. You would expect it to be kind of gross, but it was pretty good. It definitely tasted like it had like a vanilla base, and then there was like a mustard kind of like undertone to it. The only part of it that I would say wasn't the nicest on the palate was the actual waffle cone was dipped in mustard, and it had like a little mustard thing around the rim.
Okay. So it was too much once you got to the cone, but the actual ice cream, it was almost like a hint of mustard.
Yeah, yeah, it was not like nearly as mustardy as you would have thought.
Not overpowering.
So it was pretty good.
Well, they have like the bubblegum ice cream. They should put little chunks of hot dogs in there. You know, right. Really make it something special.
Get your protein.
Yeah.
Don't give them ideas.
Next year, CNE, let's go.
What else do you see? I know there's all sorts of crazy food usually at the CNE.
Yeah, there was like a deep fried sandwich or maybe it was a pulled pork sandwich that was like in between two Krispy Kreme donuts.
You didn't have one of those, did you?
No, I wasn't that brave.
Oh, man, I don't know who could finish that.
But the crazy thing is, I'm always shocked at the combination of horrendous food creations and big machines that spin you around and around.
That are designed to make you throw up.
Exactly.
It's to make more room for more mustard ice cream.
It's like, you're coming to the CNE and we're going to make you barf one way or the other.
Yeah, is this what they're feeding the astronauts before they do their test? Probably not.
Exactly.
And it's the same kind of thing.
How many G-forces can you pull after a deep-fried pulled pork donut sandwich?
Are you brave enough to let me see your peacock?
Let's take a look at sports. Live in studio with us, it's our sports guy, Devin Peacock. And we know who the players in the NFL think is the greatest player in the NFL, Dev.
Yes, Tom Brady has been voted the number one player in the NFL by his fellow NFL players. He's 45 years old,
mm-hmm.
and according to NFL players, he is still the best in the NFL.
You like that pick?
I do not like that pick.
Why not?
If you're talking all time, sure. I mean, that's like a no-brainer. If you're talking right now, today, how is Patrick Mahomes not your choice? The top 10 does not even include Josh Allen, who is the betting favorite to be the MVP in the NFL this year. So Josh Allen's not even the top 10, but Tom Brady, who's 45 years old, is number one? Doesn't make any sense.
Maybe the other players don't want to give Josh Allen any more mojo than he already has.
They probably, because at this point, Tom Brady, you respect him, everybody respects him, but he's not as much of a threat as he used to be, while these other guys are still threats and you would never want to compliment them.
I'm obviously a huge homer for Josh Allen and the Bills, but even take that out, like Patrick Mahomes was eighth on this list. If there's a quarterback in the NFL, you've got a game on the line, how do you not want Patrick Mahomes? How does that not make Patrick Mahomes the best player in the NFL?
Tom Brady was at the podium press conference on the weekend, and I noticed a lot of people commenting on his face on social media. Do you guys feel like Tom Brady's face has changed in the last year or two?
Like Botox? Is this what people are thinking?
Well, I think they're saying he looks considerably older than he did before he retired, like suggesting the wheels are falling off when it comes to old Tommy's face.
I think it's the Florida sun. I mean, he's probably not putting enough suntan lotion on. You got to keep that skin soft.
Yeah, compared to like Boston. You know what I mean?
Huh. They're also saying like his face is like longer and skinnier than it used to be.
I want to see a good side by side, but I mean, he's got to age. The dude has been basically model good looks for 25 years. Well, so yeah, how long can you keep that up?
He also has that Tom Brady stuff where he believed for a long time he didn't need suntan lotion, just drink a lot of water. So he might be on some weirdo health kick and he's just super skinny now.
Yeah, the TB12 stuff is catching up with him.
He has some weird thoughts on health.
I don't want to see a side-by-side of Tom Brady's face with his old face. I want to see anybody who's chirping him a side-by-side face and see who's doing better.
See who looks better at 45. Mm-hmm. The trolls in the comment section or Tom Brady? Even Dev would vote for Tom Brady on that one.
This is the Taz and Jim Podcast.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.